Poya.
This is Robbie.
Welcome to Uncharted and Eclectic.
And thanks for joining us again.
All right, welcome back to the Uncharted and Eclectic podcast. We have a very special guest today who we're really, really excited to interview. Maria Pergolino, CMO from ActiveCampaign. Welcome and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be talking today.
100%. So the way that we like to normally start this, Maria, is just by asking you for kind of a personal background. We'd love to learn a little bit more about like where you grew up, how that influenced you a little bit, anything that you think may be relevant to the conversation. Just would love to hear your story.
Yeah, so I am a CMO. I'm a tech executive. I've been tech for a long time, but I am a passionate marketer. I did my grad and undergrad in marketing out of Rutgers University on the East Coast, where I'm originally from. I grew up in South Jersey, near Philadelphia. And when I was in, I tell the story sometimes, I was in high school, I won a competition with a business organization in marketing and it set my path. And I'm just really fortunate that I found something I care about so much. Since then, when I finished my MBA, I did a small role, about a year and a half as a financial analyst for the organization where I had done marketing. And that was amazing in seeing that finance view from marketing, but since then have stayed on that marketing side. And like maybe some of the people on your call, started as a marketing coordinator, then a manager. I didn't have this like magic path I was one day a manager and next day CMO. I really, worked on my craft and then moved forward. So I love talking about it. I'm so excited to be here with everybody.
That's awesome, man. I have one slightly unrelated question about New Jersey specifically. I've only flown to Newark, so I've never really spent much time in New Jersey. But, and you're going to roll your eyes when I say this, I am rewatching The Sopranos for the second time, all the way through. What's your take on The Sopranos? How much of it is actually encapsulating Jersey, and how much of it is just fantasy?
So where I grew up in southern New Jersey was in an area called the Pine Barrens, which is, the word barren is it's a lot of farmland, there's a lot of pine trees, it's the salty soil, it's where the majority, if you're eating cranberries at Thanksgiving, it's probably from that area. So maybe very different than other parts of New Jersey. I know New Jersey is called the Garden State, and when you think of The Sopranos, you probably don't think very much of gardens. But there's a lot of that farmland there. The when I went to Rutgers, though, which is the state university, I just thought I went to a whole nother planet. It's very different, right? Where it's a city environment and probably a lot closer to what you saw in The Sopranos.
Awesome. Yeah, there's a specific episode about the Pine Barren like part of southern Jersey where Christopher and Polly get lost in the woods for a couple days and then eventually make their way out. So that's my
it's
only
conversation.
But thank you for humoring my Sopranos obsession. So you mentioned one thing earlier about spending some time in finance. And I know that you've also like taken, I think some like executive education courses at Stanford and some like extended education in finance specifically. I'd love to learn because I know we'll talk about marketing and you've got like a lot of really awesome tactical advice to give there. Maybe tell me a little bit about how like education in finance has like influenced kind of the work that you've done in marketing and why you maybe started there and ended up in marketing.
I appreciate that question. I think we spend so much time talking about sales and marketing alignment, and it's almost a crazy topic to me. It is the coolest thing that in the organization, you have two groups that have the exact same goal. Like it's your buddy. That should be your best friend, right? In every meeting, you should be advocating for the same things because it is literally you have the exact same goal. You just help each other in a different way. Whereas finance or HR, they may be coming with a very different perspective because of different KPIs. And so I'm surprised we don't talk about more of that relationship between marketing and finance. The marketing, has the word market in it. And so marketing should be bringing the finance team the insights for them to properly forecast the entire business, right? And I think you can think about, was your marketing team very involved in talking to the finance team about the impact in COVID? If you were the recipient of the new plan, then you're not getting that marketing piece into the market. We just this morning, we twice a week meet and do just kind of cross part of leadership, just business check-ins. And this morning we were talking about that second half forecast, and marketing came with, you know, where we thought seasonality was going to hit, where we thought, what industries we thought we were going to have acceleration. And so that finance piece really helps me understand what the finance team is up against, as well as where marketing can add value there.
The question I had, Maria, actually, and thanks for sharing that feedback. One of the things you actually brought up, which was really interesting, was like improving your craft, right? And some of the people listening are probably like in like the early stages of their marketing or their career. Looking back, what do you contribute like some of that success to? Not like down the line, like when you say like I worked on my craft, like what exactly does that mean? And some stories would really be appreciated to maybe some of the listeners.
Yeah, I'm sitting in my office right now, and right next to me is a completely blank area because I'm about to get a new bookshelf and put all my marketing books there. And that has definitely been an area of study. I like what I do. And so learning more, wanting to be an innovator there, makes it that it doesn't feel like I'm spending my weekends working when I pick up a marketing book. But I think getting good at your craft, but at the end of the day, like, let's say that you're in digital marketing and you're so talented in SEO, you can continue to take that forward, whatever that piece of marketing is. Marketing's made up of a number of different functions, and you can have a career in that specific function. There are people that are, you know, in organizations where SEO is so important, there's going to be a VP of search even potentially, right? And so that can be your future and you can focus there. What I did that's a little different, and the alternative to just focusing on that expertise and function, is that awareness across function and then adding in beyond function skills and leadership. And so you can choose as a marketer either one of those paths or a mix of those. And I think that's going to have a lot to do with determining where you end up in the future. What I would say is maybe counterintuitive to advice people on the call may be getting. Let's say you're an event marketer, or we can go back to that digital marketer, and you're spending a lot of time, you're going to all the digital, you have FOMO, so you don't want to miss the digital marketing, digital event, or whatever the latest Google update is. And so you're spending all your personal development time on that area of, you know, that functional expertise. Take 6 months and say, I'm not going to focus there. I'm going to choose a different skill to lay on. And that could be in marketing or it could be in leadership. So it's often when marketers will come to me and they'll say, hey, I want to go take this course. I'll push them and say, no, don't take the marketing course. Let's go take a course in the area that you like the least, or that you don't feel as confident, and really layer in skills that way. That has helped me very much. You mentioned that finance course. I felt like I was getting away from it. I was working for a public company. I didn't feel like I was, or company is about to be public, that I was as sharp as I may have been in that area a few years before. And so let me invest back in. And so whatever comes that, you know, you think may be the most important, maybe go the whole other way.
Yeah. I love that beginner's mindset of like, you're always sharpening your craft no matter where you are throughout the journey. One part I'd love to learn a little bit about is, you know, you talked a little bit about sharpening skills outside of marketing, but then you move to the Bay Area and you take a job at Marketo, and you are the one who's responsible for running Marketo at Marketo. So like you've kind of got like the spotlight on you as far as like, you know, needing to be a pretty elite marketer. And so that I'd love to learn a little bit more about, you know, the 4-year journey you had at Marketo starting in 2009 and kind of what that experience was like for you, both like moving to the Bay Area and kind of picking your life up and moving there, and also like sort of being marketing to marketers, and like what you learned about fellow marketers and just like the stuff you maybe picked up along the way during that journey.
Yeah, when you think about the marketers that you see speaking at conferences, you'll notice a theme both on the B2C and B2B side, where often they are marketers that have been in sales or MarTech. Like And it is because it is intense. We could not send out an email or do a social post with a, like, forget missing a spelling word wrong. A comma could be in the wrong place and you would get a note back. And so it was not the company that demands the excellence. It was the other marketers that demanded the excellence. And you have two ways that you can deal with that. You can say, well, you know, whatever, that this is bad feedback or I'm not going to hear it. Or you can say, wait, let's really start listening and let's get better. And I think, or I can, you know, think of a lot of organizations that really use that to get better. And that's why you see some great marketing from those sales and MarTech organizations. A lot of people don't know this story. So this is probably the first time I've ever shared this, like in a conference type call, but a lot of people know that the way I ended up at Marketo was the co-founder and I, John Miller and I, ended up kind of talking through social media, and we did a call after the company I was with was acquired, and then that's how I moved out. But the way that we got to know each other before that, I was a pretty demanding customer, but so demanding that I did a blog post arguing about the way Marketo handled a webinar. I actually bet I could still find that post. And John came back and asked more questions and then ended up like building the relationship on that. So I definitely, if you're watching a brand and have feedback, share it, because that helps start my career in tech. Just really, you know, trying to have that perspective. And then if you're sitting in a sales or marketing tech, use your customers, use your audience to get information. It can make you a better org.
Give us feedback on this podcast and it's negative, I would defer it to Robbie. He's the one to blame versus me.
I think that what in choosing the recent opportunity, I joined ActiveCampaign about 7 months ago, and so I was able to use my resume to have a nice selection of opportunities. I really got to choose. And so people say, why this job? And I think it ties into the answer of your question. We're hearing and marketing is leaning in towards that entire customer life cycle. You cannot have great growth hacking or demand gen or even brand success without those customer voices. And even if you could, I mean, do you really want to be at a company that you're never going to innovate if the customer voice isn't pulling in that feedback? And so marketers have really leaned into customer life cycle, but we just haven't had the ability to really engage with it the right way. Our teams are siloed, our systems are siloed, and it's part of why I chose the ActiveCampaign opportunity, because their whole focus is on that customer experience. But I do think that one of the marketers on my team who I'd worked with before at Aptus said something to me and it just hit me across the face. Like, have you ever been in a meeting and you can't hear the rest of the meeting because of like one sentence that was said? And she said, like, listen, you cannot win if you have an online store, or if you have, even in B2B, if you have a 4.6 out of a 5 rating anymore. People sort by the top rated and they only want to work with the 5.0. And so we either have to enable companies to be that 5.0 or they're relevant anyway. And it like hit me that, oh my goodness, it's not just about being in the middle. You cannot survive being okay anymore. You have to be good at what you do and your customers. And that includes how you engage with your customers. And so that customer lifecycle piece for CMOs is what digital transformation has been for us. Like if you have not transformed some way digitally, you are not in business the same way. Customer lifecycle and experience is going to be that for us. And I period. And that is a true change.
And how do you guys do that internally, if you don't mind me asking? Like, how are you aligning your marketing team to be aligned with not only the internal stakeholders, but also with the customer across from the time they engage with you until hopefully they stay with you for a couple of years?
Yeah, I think it starts with one, how us as marketers choose the companies we go to. Before I picked ActiveCampaign, I listened to, it must have been 10 different podcasts that Jason spoke on, my CEO. And in every one of them, there's ones that he does not even mention like what our company does. Like he just is like on a roll. He like doesn't even get to our product. But in everyone, he talks about how he looks at every single piece of customer feedback. And again, we have 100,000 customers, so it's not always long form feedback. But whether it's something in social media, something that comes through on support, he starts his day and ends his day looking at that customer feedback. And let's even say that I didn't think that was important from the marketing team. If your CEO is reading something every day and you want to lead a marketing group, you better be reading that thing too, right? Like, so I joined knowing that, hey, customer experience is going to be important. So I too look at so much customer feedback, and that has resulted in my team looking at customer feedback so much so. We're adding a new part of the solution, like many of us adding to the product line. And the way we were going to add that into the tiers, we had a marketer who leads our content marketing, Benjamin, who came and said, you know what, I've been on our customer dashboard. I've been following the customer feedback. I don't think we're doing this the right way. And here's a content marketer. We are now pivoting how we're rolling out that product, the way we're going to price it, based on customer feedback that came from our content marketer, because the whole marketing team's engaged. And like, just think about the power that could have to an organization if everybody's really paying attention to the customer. It just starts becoming natural. Like you have to create a team that cares about that, and then it will just continue to happen. And I'm watching that pivot happen. Yesterday I joined a sales call where instead of celebrating each of the individual reps, the reps had to come on and share customer stories. And so it's through things like that that you really can make change in a great way for your customers.
Yeah, I love that. I think any like high functioning organization that you always see like the common language between, whether it's the CEO, marketing, or sales, it's about the customer. And like every conversation, everything is framed around what are customers telling us. And it's just such a good reminder for like any team out there wondering where to anchor their focus right now. Customer feedback is pretty much always a great place to do that. So Maria, you said something earlier about, you know, the five star rating versus like the 4.7 star rating, and how like you're kind of irrelevant if you're in the middle and not from the front. And so I want to read a quote that I think you've said on a couple podcasts before, and it's also on your LinkedIn. And I just want to get your take on this. And I think it's a good reflection of your personality too. So here we go. I refuse to be a follower. Maybe I'm too busy to pay attention to what competitors are doing. I like to believe I'm just always one step ahead and don't like looking back. The view from the front is better anyway, especially from this roller coaster. So that's the quote. I love it. Tell us about like where that came from and like the roller coaster, especially how like refusing to be a follower and that mindset, like maybe kind of like how you arrived at that point. Is that something that you've like recently discovered about yourself, or have you always been that way?
I think it's just an evolution of how I'm a very competitive person. So I want to work in a place that I believe in, because I only want to beat a competitor if we're truly better, right? And then, but then I want to use my energy to win and to create growth and create change. The companies I've worked with have been innovators, and to bring that innovation forward. But in being competitive, one of the things that can happen is you get FOMO, you start paying attention too much, you have to add in like to your technology every tool that every competitor has, and it's distracting. And what you start doing is what I call peanut buttering your efforts. You like spread all your effort across everything, and you don't end up that great at anything. So I am still very competitive, and I still like, I have a view generally of my competitors, but that is not how we make the decisions about the marketing we're going to do. We're going to choose the things that we're going to do well and do them better than anybody else. And that's what's going to create our difference. And that's going to be with our product. That's going to be with our marketing. And so it is a shift in me and how I deal with that competitive energy to make it something that can create success, as opposed to something that was honestly holding me back.
And can you tell us, that's super valuable advice. And I think especially in the climate we're in right now, with so much change condensed in such a small amount of time, it's like for me personally, I feel I've never had to work harder to maintain focus on like one single topic because my attention's getting pulled in so many directions. And I'm just, you know, this is just one person's opinion, but as a leader of, you know, a high growth SaaS business and a, you know, a big marketing team, how are you making adjustments right now in like the current climate to continue to be a leader rather than a follower and keep your team focused?
Fair question. I think, so I have loved, one of the things that has happened in with this COVID-19 situation and us being in our homes is that there's been a lot of the market, at least, and I love being in tech marketing, but the tech marketing community has come together, the leadership, and there's a number of like CMO calls. If anybody wants to know like about any of them, feel free to ping me. But
you can share them if you want.
Well, like, just, it's different people in different times. So I know EverString puts one on, Sixth Sense puts one on, where they, that one's with Matt Hines, Anthony Cannata, who's at Front, sometimes hold one, where somebody just sends out an email and says, hey, a Tuesday at 2, you know, any VPs or CMOs, we're going to talk about X. And one of the things that I think COVID, that the economic situation that accompanied it caused is this real focus on customer. So now you have everybody on the same page. Hey, we need to retain our base, focus on customer. But what I was paying attention to, not only with my competitors, but my peers, is what were they then doing? Because I did not want to be doing the same thing as everybody else. So I saw this like pipelines decline. Okay, what can we do? And this rush towards content. And I saw other marketers putting out things like best practices from work from home. And so we made some decisions fast. One, we were going to stay experts in what we did. So we weren't going to apply general best practice. We were going to find ways like we helped, you know, small and mid-sized companies with their growth at ActiveCampaign. And so we weren't going to go and say, this is how to work from home. We were going to say, this is how to deal with your business in this time. So we were very purposeful. The other thing we did, as we said, there's going to be everybody's moving towards content. There's going to be a massive amount of content. We do not want to be part of this noise. What can we do different? And so we took in, we used to do these in-person events. We'd held 185 of them, you know, across the world because we have a very diverse base to help people get trained. And instead of going and saying, okay, well, let's just throw that up as a full day online, we said, let's bring that whole team together and give them 6 weeks, 2 months, whatever they need to put together, like whatever the best course could be digitally. And let's make it interactive. Let's make it different than anything else our competitors or even the industry has, so that it ends up a differentiator for us instead of part of the noise. And that worked out, like, as you can imagine, phenomenally. The customers, every one of them's now sold out. The customers are so excited to be, it's created a whole different set of problems, but in like an amazing way. And so, you know, just thinking about things a little bit differently there.
No, in some ways, there's so many good nuggets you can get out of there, but one of them is just marketing 101, like differentiate yourself, right? Let's separate out what everybody else is doing versus what you're doing. But in a unique way, you've actually probably earned even more loyalty, right? If someone's investing money or even their time to like take these training courses, you're actually making the product and their experience a little more stickier with you, right? So you're building a loyal fan base in a way. We can probably continue on and on and on, but my last question before we get into the fireway round, as a lot of people are kind of going into this new adventure that you guys are ahead of, is there anything in that experience that you learned from that was a surprise, like, to you as you guys were going through this like 2 month journey?
Just personally, I would have told you that I'm like ruthless in my prioritization. I'm very, you know, which has allowed me to have that differentiation and to create focus for the team. And what really hit me just even in that last example is that we're ending up in a better place because we took that pause and added in that this digital experience for our customers. The question I have for myself is, why didn't I just stop doing those in-person sessions and do that same thing? Like, if COVID didn't happen, we would not have taken that pause. Yep. And we wouldn't have done it. And it's better for us overall. So where can I think, like, something I thought I was good at, I realized I'm not as good as I thought. I was maybe getting a little cocky and something that needed some reflection. And so, I mean, I tore our plan apart saying, like, let's really think about what we, forget what roles people are in, forget what's happening. Like, what is it that we really want to do? And are we putting the right resources in those places? And that's hard. Like, you know, you like people in different places, you want to support everybody, but how do you sit and say, where can I really make change? And so I don't think I'm done that journey yet. I think I still have a lot to learn there, but what an amazing thing to learn through this.
Yeah, absolutely. Both personally and professionally, right? Putting in the time to reflect if what we're working on is actually getting the outcomes that they're getting.
Or just if you just took those dollars of those people, and we're seeing it every day where people are going like, oh, it's maybe okay that we didn't do this event. Look at this other thing we're doing that's better. Like, okay, why weren't you doing that anyway?
Probably deserves to do a little bit of reflection on the actions over the last couple of months. And like, what have you learned and digest that? And that's cool that you've picked up on that. And, you know, sometimes it takes something totally outside your control to see something that's kind of, you know, right in front of your eyes and maybe obvious like after the fact. So it's cool to hear that even CMOs for big tech companies have those same types of, you know, realizations along the way, right? That gives us all hope. So Maria, this is, we, like Poi said, we could keep going, I think, for a long time. And I think we would love to do it again, maybe after this is all blown over in 6 to 12 months and see what you've kind of learned in total. But we typically like to wrap us up with two kind of quick fire questions just to kind of get your take on a couple of things. And so I'll go first and then I'll kick it over to Poi to wrap it up. And you know, my question is, as somebody who has done this journey and not really skipped a single step as far as like your career as a marketer, like, you know, starting as a coordinator, an associate, and kind of moved your way up, you know, across the board on marketing, and now you're multi-time CMO. Maria, today, what would your advice be about something you learned along the way that you wish you had known back then to Maria from the beginning? What would that one piece of advice you gave your younger self be?
Just around that partnership, and you know, I talked about the competitiveness. How do you not make your peers your competitor? How do you really understand the mission of the organization and align to that success instead of what could be that functional success or that individual team success? You know, really a lot about, less about the marketing, but really how to be a true team.
Fair enough. Love it. You got to partner with your peers, right? And you've done a great job, whether it's Anthony or Joe Chernoff at Pendo, like your name keeps coming up time after time. So that just goes to show the priorities you've put in the right place. My question, especially because you have this personality where I think you go against the majority of the people, is what is one thing that you believe to be true that you think a majority of the people will probably disagree with you on? This could be personally in marketing. Take your time.
You know, I think the one something we didn't talk about on this call that would be it would just be good to take pause is just like really learning who you are and what your values are and making sure you assert them in the organization. The what you think you're good at, you're not necessarily. I would consider myself a feminist. I really push in lots of different ways for civil and human rights. And these last couple of weeks, and depending on when you're listening to this call, I'm talking about 2020 as Black Lives Matter is emerging as an issue that we should have been paying more attention to for a long time, that it would have been something I said that I did well and paid attention to. And I'm seeing a lot of things that I could improve and reflect on. And to answer your question, I think just I think I do well. You've heard this a couple of times where I'm like, okay with challenging myself and saying like, wait, I thought I did good here, but I could do actually way better. And I would say that, you know, that's where a lot of that comes from, is in pushing my peers the same way. If I know you mentioned some of my peers, that is what my teams and my peers will tell you, is that when you get comfortable, like try to get uncomfortable. And the person you're competing against is yourself or whoever the best is in that field. And so, you know, whatever, wherever any of us are in those important values or civil matters, like we have to do better. And if you're one of my peers thinking you're doing great, well, do better.
I love that. Yeah. And I think, you know, to your point, there's probably a whole nother podcast about the last topic, which you just covered. So I appreciate you bringing that up. So Maria, this has been so much fun. I want to just give you a huge thank you again for coming on and sharing your story. Super, super valuable. If folks want to get in touch with you, what's a good place to find you, whether it's social or anywhere else?
My favorite is Instagram. And for those that are like know me recently, I've been a fan of TikTok, but probably the easiest is LinkedIn. I am either by my name, Maria Pergolino, and it's pretty easy to find because even if you get a close spelling, you will find me. I'm the only Maria Pergolino in the world as of this moment. And then everywhere else, if you can't find me there, it's through the name kind of Inbound Marketer tends to be the tag I use.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much for the time. We really appreciate it.
Helps engineers and engineering managers become great leaders. And how do they do that? Well, Plato helps you find the perfect mentor thanks to its network of experienced engineering leaders who work at the world's best tech companies. For a monthly fee, you have unlimited access to mentors who can help when you have challenging situations as a manager. Visit them at PlatoHQ.com.